Hi, I'm Carmen LaBerge. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. What we're trying to do here on Connecting Faith is actually get God back into the conversations of the day by equipping and then redeploying Christians into the culture to have conversations about spiritual matters, to reconnect the eternal with the everyday, to actually be the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven in the conversations of our day. And so we're going to practice that today a little bit. And so I know this is going to be a little bit unusual, but I'm warning you in advance that in just a couple of minutes, I'm actually going to open the phone lines here on Connecting Faith. I want to talk with you. The questions are going to be, is it getting harder, in your experience, is it getting harder, more difficult, to have spiritual conversations, to talk about God, to bring God into the conversations of the day? If so, why? And I'm gonna start here by lifting up an op-ed, an opinion piece that appeared 3 days ago in the New York Times, and it's gotten a lot of really good traction. And it's entitled, It's Getting Harder to Talk About God. The subhead, The Decline in Our Spiritual Vocabulary Has Many Real-World Consequences. The author of the piece is Jonathan Merritt, and we're going to talk about the piece, and then I'm going to open the phone lines, and I want you to engage with me on this question. Is it getting harder to talk about God? Is our spiritual vocabulary in such decline that we're having a hard time actually connecting in conversation with people with whom we disagree on a variety of matters? And so the number here in the studio is 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Yes, you can also text if you are more comfortable texting than calling. We will watch that as well. And so let me just cover here what's contained in this piece in the New York Times as a jumping off point for our conversation with one another today here on Connecting Faith. So again, the piece is by Jonathan Merritt. It's entitled, It's Getting Harder to Talk About God. The Decline in Our Spiritual Vocabulary Has Many Real-World Consequences. Now, let me start off by saying Jonathan Merritt is the son of a pastor. So he grew up in a home where, you know, the language was the language of the faith. It was God language. It's language with which he's very comfortable. It's a world in which he has lived most of his, not only, you know, all of his childhood, most of his adult life in the South, and just a fairly short period of time ago, he moved to New York City. And that's one of the things he talks about in this piece, is that having moved to New York, he was really surprised by how difficult it suddenly became to engage in conversations that that in the past would have been easy to have. Why? Because there is much less of a common spiritual vocabulary in New York City than there was in the outskirts of Atlanta or in his seminary or in his Bible college that he went to. And so that's sort of the context of his own writing. And here's the lead of the piece. More than 70% of Americans identify as Christian, but you wouldn't know it from listening to them. An overwhelming majority of people say that they don't feel comfortable speaking about faith most of the time. He talks about rapid social change and the spiritual disorientation that people are experiencing. And then he talks about, you know, having a desire to confirm his instincts, his own experiences, that spiritual conversations are getting more difficult to have. And so he commissioned some research by the Barna Group. Now, we periodically have David Kenneman here on Connecting Faith to go over some Barna research with us. So we can certainly have David on again to talk about this particular research. But I thought since Jonathan lifted up pieces of the research here in his piece in the New York Times, we could do that today. And we could just have a conversation with each other about what we are experiencing in terms of the frequency and effectiveness of spiritual conversations in the culture today. So here is some of the research findings. More than one-fifth of respondents, and again, they were surveying American adults, really about whether or not it's become more difficult in our experience to bring God into the conversation, to have conversations that are spiritually and faith-focused. So more than one-fifth of respondents admit they have not had a spiritual conversation at all in the past year. I want you to think about that for a moment. 1/5 of respondents, so out of 1,000 people, 200 people admit they have not had a spiritual conversation at all in the past year. 6 in 10, 60%, say they have only had a spiritual conversation on rare occasions, once or twice or possibly several times. But that's a full 60% of the population. Only 7% of Americans say that they talk about spiritual matters regularly. Well, obviously, I talk about spiritual matters regularly, and I think everybody else should, too. And that's actually what the entire program is about. What we are here to do is to get God back into the conversation. I wrote a whole book about this. The book's called Speak the Truth, How to Get God Back into Every Conversation. I obviously perceive this to be a problem in the culture, or I wouldn't have written a book about it. And I obviously perceive to believe that there's a way that we can become equipped to speak the truth in ways that honor Jesus. I don't think we have to embarrass God by the way we interact with the culture, and I don't think we have to be afraid to do it. I think there are some things we need to know, and I lay those out in Speak the Truth. So this article does not come as a surprise to me. I would love to get your input and your feedback, your experiences of this. In your experience, has it become more difficult to talk about God, to talk about spiritual matters, to talk about faith in the conversations that you're having? The phone lines are open. The number is 877-933-2484. Again, 877-93-FAITH. You can text if you don't want to call, because some people are afraid of that as well. Okay, so we're going to talk about the actual practice of Christianity. Because, you know, to practice your Christianity means you don't just have a set of spiritual ideas. It means you actually communicate those ideas both through words and good deeds. And so if you are experiencing a language barrier in your spiritual conversations, then I think that's something we have to talk about. If you were, like Jonathan Merritt, the author of this piece, raised in a community where spiritual language was just a part of the warp and woof of every day, then maybe for you at home and in community, this is not hard. But he does say in here, this is a great sentence, "All my life I use religious language daily in my home and community, rarely pausing to think about the meaning of my words." So I actually think that's a good starting place. You and I have to think about what we're thinking about. We have to think about how we're thinking about it. We have to think about whether or not we actually have perceived the mind of Christ on the matters of our day. And then we have to be careful about the words that we use in order that we can actually communicate the gospel in gospel ways. So that's speaking the truth in love. Okay, Kelsey from Stoughton, if I'm mispronouncing your town, I'm just going to apologize in advance. Stoughton, Wisconsin, texted in at 877-933-2484. Kelsey says, "I think spiritual conversations are regular for me, but so many of the people I know don't want to care or think about philosophical matters or spirituality, for that matter, because it's looked on as a hobby. And we all just say to each their own." Kelsey, excellent observation. I think that absolutely resonates with what this research has found, that there is this range of reasons why people don't enter into spiritual conversations. Number one on the list is that people are afraid of creating tension or arguments with people, with whom they're trying to live and get along. Other people feel put off by how religion has been politicized. Others don't want to appear religious. Like, right, we want to have a personal faith, but we want to sort of keep that to ourselves. We don't want to appear, quote unquote, religious. Some people are frankly just afraid of sounding weird or extremist. But whatever the reason, Jonathan Merritt points out in his piece, for most of us in this majority Christian nation, our conversations almost never address the spirituality that we claim is so important in our lives. So how about you? Let's talk about your religious fluency. Let's talk about how often the words gospel or salvation or saved or grace or sin come up in our conversations today. Give me a call at 877-933-2484. Tell me about the last spiritual conversation you tried to have that got stalled out, or if you just want to confess that, hey, I don't even try. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to engage with some listeners today on this particular subject. The New York Times actually turned this into a comment section on their website, because this particular opinion piece got so much traction 3 days ago. And so if you wanted to check this out, it's on the Learning Network on the New York Times. I'd love to see some Christians engage in that comment section on the New York Times website, not just folks who are not believers. So I've got Tina in St. Paul. Tina, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hi.
Hi. We're so glad to have you on air.
How are you?
I'm glad to be
on air. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, how? What's your experience of trying to get God into the conversation?
Well, you know, usually I'll start a conversation, and just to let you know that I'm a born-again Christian, so I've only been maybe about 2.5-3 years. And so sometimes it's really hard, but we'll start talking, and the conversation can get so intense. You can't help but bring God in it, you know? And then as soon as you bring him in, then the conversation gets a lot more intense. Then we're focusing on God. I mean, I think the more that I do it, the more it's easier for me to bring him in, because he has done so much and he has showed me so much in my life. It's just, it's easy. I guess it depends on who you're talking with. But if you just tell, you know, I kind of say like, you know, I don't know what your religion is, but I just really have to say, you know, how God has showed up. Mm, and right there, the conversation just starts.
Well, Tina, I think you make some excellent observations. First of all, you're focused on the individuality of the person you're talking to. Like, this isn't like we're going to memorize some kind of script and then we're going to go out there and deliver it. You are actually engaging in, you know, in real relationships with real people. You're meeting them where they are. And you're not just talking about you. You're trying to point out who God is, and you're trying to point to the things that God has done. And I think that's much more interesting to people than just having a conversation that's sort of the small talk, surface level stuff of the day.
Yes, because he does show up.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely. Hey, Tina, thank you for showing up today on Connecting Faith. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, friends, I got to take one quick break, but I want to continue to take your phone calls. I'd love to have a conversation with you about this subject matter. So the question is, do you think it's getting harder to have God or God-centered or spiritual conversations today? And if you've experienced or witnessed a conversation that stalled out when the subject turned spiritual, I'd love to talk with you about that. Why do you think that happened? And what was your experience? The phone lines are open. The number is 877-933-2484. This is Connecting Faith, and I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Hey, friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. The phone lines are open today. I'm taking listener calls and comments on a particular subject. The subject is, do you think it's gotten more difficult to get God back into the conversations of the day? Or what is your experience of getting God into the conversations of the day? The number is 877-933-2484. Again, you can text or call that number, 877-933-2484. One person took advantage of texting in. I appreciate that. Anonymous. Anonymous says, look, I wear a uniform all day. I work for a secular company. I desire to talk about faith, but I can't do so on the job. I actually got reprimanded for saying a blessing. Let me reread that. I got reprimanded for saying have a blessed day in public. The company wasn't mad, but they also concerned about losing customers if someone is offended. There's definitely a spiritual battle. I believe this conversation is the most important and interesting conversation to talk about. I pray to have more opportunities to have this conversation. Well, amen. And let's, for those of you who are listening right now, this is an opportunity for us to lift up another listener in prayer and just, you know, ask God's blessing and anointing upon this brother or sister who is working today out there, you know, in the real world with a public facing job. And so we're just going to ask that God would be glorified in and through you, that your light would shine so clearly before others that they would see your good works. And by those, they would come to glorify God who is in heaven. So thank you so much. Praying for you there in St. Paul. Had a caller who called in and couldn't stay on the line with us, but shares this experience from New Hope. He says, I have a blended family, and at work, sometimes people ask, well, which children are biological? I tell them God doesn't have any stepchildren. So when a situation arises and scripture comes to my mind, I try not to hold my tongue about it. I try to share as much as I can in the workplace and wherever I am. Hey, absolutely. Thank you for that. I think that's critical. That's important. And I find in my own experience, I don't feel compelled to like tell people what the chapter and verse is. Like, I just feel compelled to bring the word of God to bear in my conversations. And sometimes it seems appropriate to say, hey, it says somewhere in the Bible, or hey, Jesus said, or Paul, or the Apostle Paul said, or, but most times I'll tell you, I just weave the word of God right in there. I just weave it right into whatever I'm saying. And I don't worry about, you know, telling people what the chapter and verse is. If they come back around and they say, you know, wow, that was really impactful. That was really meaningful. I'd like to write that down. I'll say, you know what? It's already written down. Let me tell you where to find it. Okay. Hey, Brandon in Oakdale. Welcome. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm well. Thank you for calling in today. What would you like to share?
I just like to pass a message out there when it comes to talking about Christianity and spiritual with the family. I like what Tina said before, but when you bring it up to like your family, people tend to spin it in a different direction, and it's hard to talk about. But sometimes I have to keep it to myself. Most of the time, I have to bring it up about what's going on today in the world. So I'd like to just share with people out there that they shouldn't hide from their culture of God, because he's everywhere. So I just wanted to mention that, you know, you have to bring up God in every aspect of life, even though that we're at work or at just anywhere, restaurants or coffee shops. People shouldn't shy about it. So I
absolutely.
Just wanted to-
So, Brandon, so you and I are, you know, we're on the air right now. We're talking to thousands of people out there across America and on the Faith Radio, you know, streaming via the website and on the Faith Radio app. And so you sound like a person who does this on a fairly regular basis. And I'm curious to know, when you feel the Holy Spirit move you to, you know, to say something in the midst of a conversation where it might be uncomfortable, it might be contrary to what's already going on in the conversation, or you may know that somebody else that's in that conversation views things differently. I'm wondering if you could give us an example of a time that you just went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, it's frustrating when it comes to spirituality when people don't understand the Holy Spirit, because I've been a born-again Christian for almost 6-7 years. But it took me a long time to figure out more intense about it, because I've got saved. When Billy Graham passed away, I never knew the man, his sermons. But when it comes to hearing more intelligent things about the Holy Spirit and God, instead of just going to church every Sunday, I felt more in love with the spiritual guidance of God. And I just wanted to just teach people, and I was just so happy. I was like, I wanted to tell everybody that in my family that there's hope, but maybe I'm having a hard time talking about it with people, but I just want to share with people that it's okay to talk about God. Don't cringe. Don't be afraid. And I talked it with a family member, and they usually twist it around, and I just leave it at that, and I tell God that you have to intervene with him. And it's just, you know, it gets frustrating, but I want to accomplish and feel that Holy Spirit and help people instead of just hiding with the people.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, hey, that's what you're, yeah.
Brandon, thank you so much for sharing with us today on Connecting Faith. Thank you for listening. I want you to be encouraged. And I want you to, you, it sounds like you genuinely have the joy of salvation. You genuinely desire for other people to know the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ. And we're just going to pray God's absolute blessing upon that as you till the cultural soil in your family and as you continue to plant the seeds out there in the culture. Just thank you so much, Brandon. We appreciate your call today.
Thanks, Carmen.
Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, friends, you are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. The phone lines are open today. We are talking about just the reality of spiritual conversations. And I used Jonathan Merritt's opinion piece in the New York Times as a jumping off point. That article is entitled, "It's Getting Harder to Talk About God." Discusses a decline in our spiritual vocabulary. Words like sin and grace and having to explain if we would use a word like blessed or if we would use a word like saved. And so I just wanted to have that conversation with listeners as well. You can call or text me, 877-933-2484. Are spiritual conversations getting easier or more difficult to have? Are you actually looking for opportunities to have conversations where you bring God back into things? Do you have a heart like Brandon for your lost family members? We've had one listener who called in and wasn't able to stay on the line, talks about their near-death experience, and then asking, do you believe, is the main point that our faith hinges on. So actually encouraging people to ask the question, you know, do you believe? It's one thing to know what the Bible says about things, right? We might have a general understanding of Scripture. We might have a general understanding of spiritual things, but we might not have a living relationship with God. So I appreciate that both Tina and Brandon, did you hear their language when they described themselves? they openly described themselves as born-again Christians. I don't hear that very often when people introduce themselves. I don't often hear them. I hear them say where they go to church, like, right, they identify themselves with a particular denomination or tribe or location. They tell me where they're from. They tell me what they do. I don't often hear people just openly say, you know what, I'm a born-again Christian. That's pretty powerful language in the culture today. That's a pretty powerful way of introducing yourself and identifying yourself. If you're listening right now and you don't know where that language comes from, that actually comes from a teaching of Jesus. He had an encounter one night with a Pharisee whose name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night and knocked on the door and basically said, you know, I've kept all the law and the commandments, but what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus is like, you know, you can only enter the kingdom of heaven if you're born again. Nicodemus is like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, there's really only one way to be born, right? I mean, you know, I got a mama and I came into the world the way everybody else does. And Jesus is like, yeah, I'm talking about being born of the Spirit, not being born of the flesh. If you don't die to yourself and be born again in me, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus was like, well, I want some of that. Those are the kinds of conversations we have to learn how to have in the culture in which we live, where Jesus is still relevant and interested in saving the lost. All right, friends, when we come back, I'm going to be having a conversation with Dr. Edward Moody. His book is First Aid for Emotional Hurts, Helping People Through Difficult Times. This is going to be a great conversation about how we can engage as healers in the culture today. Hey, friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. I am joined now by Dr. Edward Moody. He helps leaders, parents, teachers, and professionals by giving them tools that we all need to deal with emotional hurts, addiction, crisis, mental health challenges. We all recognize that we've got a tendency to withdraw from people who are hurting, but Dr. Moody is going to actually help us lean in. So, Dr. Moody, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, thank you, Carmen. It's so good to be here with you today. I appreciate the opportunity.
So you've given me permission to call you Eddie, so I'm going to tell my listeners that I'm not just being casual without having established permission to do so. I would love for you to introduce people to this concept of leaning in or walking in to conversations with hurting people. We absolutely have a tendency to walk away, actually sometimes to run away, certainly to avoid the kind of commitment that it takes to walk with people in their grief. So just talk with us about, you know, that idea that we should be moving toward them and not away from them.
Well, just like if someone went into cardiac arrest in a restaurant or a friend was in an accident, we would try to do physical first aid with them. The concept of the book is there's emotional first aid techniques we can use to help people, and it's really what the Lord taught us about when he told us as Christians we're to be an ambassador and to bear the burdens of others. So what we try to stress in the book is there are going to be times where people will actually seek you out as a Christian, and it usually is a time when they're hurting. Often they don't really care to hear about our faith, or they think of it as a little bit weird. But let someone's wife develop cancer or a child die, and they'll often come to us and ask us sometimes to pray with them or help them out. And so what we try to stress with emotional first aid is look for opportunities. Look for someone who's struggling and be like Joseph when he came along to those fellows in the prison and said, hey, you don't seem like yourself. What's going on? Be a listening ear to them, and then think about particular actions you might be able to do to help someone that's hurting or going through a particular difficulty. So as a Christian, often people don't want to hear us talk about our faith, but this is an opportunity where people are often seeking answers and seeking some sort of burden bearing. So it's really an opportunity for us as believers if we practice what the Lord has taught us about in the scriptures.
So you talk about, and again, friends, the book is First Aid for Emotional Hurts, Helping People Through Difficult Times. The author who is talking with us right now is Edward E. Moody, Jr. We're going to call him Eddie today, which, again, it just seems overly casual, but I'm embracing it. So you start with the reality that we have to learn to listen, that there are ways of listening well. And one of the things that you talk about is that actually listening well is burden bearing. I mean, like it does somehow lift my burden a little bit if someone just really, really listens. So can you talk with us about what it looks like to listen well?
Well, you put the phone away, and if you're in a restaurant with with one of these televisions in every corner, you make sure you do not look at the television. And you just give people with your body language, you tend to be facing them, you tend to drop things and just kind of talk to them and let them tell their story, so to speak. And the tendency is, like someone is talking about a problem with their spouse, we start thinking about some advice to give. When you really listen, you just let all that go. You might kind of paraphrase what they said. So you and Linda are really having some difficulty here, and just keep them talking. And that will put you in a different category than most of the people that they're dealing with. We actually teach counselors to do this because they're able to get a lot of information from people that will help them, assist them later. But at the end of someone listening, then we might share a scripture, or that's where we might talk to them about something we've done in our own marriage. But there's a tendency for people to feel like, okay, someone has finally listened to me and is paying attention, and they understand a bit better what I'm going through, and it really does help heal people. We also can leave there and think about ways we might pray. And sometimes when we listen to someone as a Christian, at the end of that, we might pray for them. And I encourage people to always pray aloud for the person, especially if a person hasn't had a lot of experience with church or may not even be a Christian. You're really modeling for them how to pray, and you're also kind of modeling for them that prayer is not so much about getting something but a relationship with the Lord. And so there's something that they learn from that, but I think it's also just very beneficial for them to hear their name called and hear someone praying biblically. There's just a lot of healing in all of that.
Absolutely. So Eddie, we've actually had a listener who texted in who maybe misunderstood something that I said a few minutes ago. And so I want to clarify that. We absolutely want to rush in to help like Jesus did, like, right? We want to be the people who move toward. And there are times that even Christians move away from hurting people. And what we're here talking about today, friends, is the call to not do that, to resist the temptation to move away from hurting people, and instead to actually move toward them, to do, again, what Jesus would do, and move toward them. Eddie, let's talk about the concept of resilience. Resilience is something you talk about a lot in First Aid for Emotional Hurts. What is resilience, and how can we nurture it?
Well, resilience is the ability to go through some sort of difficulty, to be able to come out on the other side and be a stronger person, to be someone that can take that and actually assist others. And so one of the ways we can foster resilience is to really face the truth. Sometimes, like if you've got someone that you're trying to help, a family, and they've got a loved one that's very ill, people will sometimes try to hide that from their children or try to pretend like it's not as bad as it really is. And we stress, when we're trying to build people up to help them become resilient, is to help them to understand, no, this is what it is. We're optimistic. And for example, in an illness, we know that the Lord could heal, but the Lord may not heal. And so we tend to focus on passages like Psalm 46, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so we're helping them to understand that even in bad times, God can help you through that. And so to help people become resilient, we stress, no, every day is not a better day, or every day is not an enjoyable day. There are going to be ups and downs in life, but with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can get through those downs. You can come out on that in a better way. And we do stress how no matter what happens to you, God's going to be with you and God's going to help you. That Psalm 46 passage talks about if the mountains fall into the middle of the sea, God is there for you and God is your refuge. And so to help people become resilient, you're helping them to think about what the worst thing is that could happen to them and to see how on that worst day of their life, and we'll all have one at some point, God is right there with you. He's holding your hand and he's walking you through that. And that's something that we need to be teaching our children, and it's also something we need to be prepared to talk to people about on difficult days in their lives, because it's something that the Lord can deliver to them that nothing else replaces that.
Well, and I think that one of the things that you surface, and again, friends, the book and the website are First Aid for Emotional Hurts. So if you want to find the book and more information about Dr. Moody and his ministry, you can go to edwardmoody.com. You can also go to firstaidforemotionalhurts.com. Eddie, that idea that this is the worst day of my life or the worst thing that could ever happen, my answer to that question and your answer to that question and the other 7 billion people on the planet's answer to that question are each going to be different. And so I think one of the things that is really profitable in what you're offering to us is that we have to listen to the other person's answer to the question and really genuinely, because what I might perceive to be the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen to me or in my life is going to be really different than what you perceive to be the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. And so what I think you get us away from is the tendency to immediately pitch in my worst day, when what I'm supposed to be doing is listening to you and really tending to the deep place of woundedness where you are.
And part of what we're trying to do with whoever it is we're working with is just pointing them back to the scripture. You know, the scripture talks quite a bit about God being with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And you run into all kinds of things. Someone will have a coworker that's really nervous about getting laid off, which is not anything on the line of like having pancreatic cancer or something like that. But I do think we can kind of work with people. We can listen to them. And instead of pretending like something's not going to happen, which we often don't know for sure, just say, well, what if that happens? You know, what would happen? And that is a case where a believer can come all the way down. And, you know, often people will think the worst thing that could happen would be the death of a child or the death or their own death. And they can visualize how God helps them through that, because he tells us that over and over again in the scripture, how he's going to bring us through those difficult days, whatever may come our way.
Help us, not get to the place where we're paralyzed by what seems like overwhelming need. Because I particularly, like, when we look at pictures of what's going on in the panhandle right now of Florida, or even, you know, for folks in South Carolina, I mean, it's not like they are out of the woods in the from the floods and, you know, and on and on. And when we think about the depth of human need, and some of it's simple material need, but even that material need has a lot of emotional levels to it. Help us not get paralyzed. Help us figure out how to move forward with one relationship.
Well, I think that's really what happens to us. I think we look at a problem and we think to ourselves, I can't fix that. And so then we don't do anything. And so one of the things we know from psychological research is if one person stops and helps, then others tend to come along and stop and help. We also know that we have a God who sees everything, and so he'll take whatever it is that we do, and there's other people within the kingdom that are capable of helping as well. And so when we stop and help someone, then there may be others to stop and help. So a way to think about it is, like, let's say you've got a person in your church that's in a domestic violence situation. So you're like, I don't know about this. Should I get involved with it? And you are correct if you're thinking, this is dangerous. The person that's abusing her could come after me, and that's a very big possibility. But as a friend, you come alongside. You're willing to listen to this particular person. You're willing to try to help. And so you're providing what you can. But now, it doesn't mean you're going to have them come to your house and live, putting the rest of your family, your own children, perhaps in danger. You're stepping up by listening to the person and being a bit like the Good Samaritan. And the story that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, he comes along the wounded traveler. He provides him with some help, really some medicine, puts him on his horse, but then he takes him to the inn. He finds an inn, and he leaves him there, and he pays the money for that. So one of the things we have to remember is we've got a God who has all kinds of resources and all kinds of people and places. And so we come along and we may listen to someone, but we're also thinking to ourselves, we don't have to do this by ourselves. God has all kinds of resources. And so when we don't know what to do, we try to find someone who does. And so, like in the domestic violence situation, there's all kinds of battered women's shelters. There's all kinds of domestic violence organizations who are highly skilled with dealing with these types of issues, and are actually the safest place a person can be is in one of those particular shelters. So we do what we can do, and it may be listening to a person. It may be performing a particular act by giving them some money to help them to, you know, get a professional counselor or something along those lines, or keeping their children for a day or so while they go and try to get things sorted out. We think of something that we can do, but we don't do anything that would overwhelm us, that would make it where it's impossible for us to do our own job or take care of our own family. There's things that we can do within our sphere of influence, and then we've got God at work that others may step up, and then we have other resources that we try to push them towards.
Hey, friends, the book is First Aid for Emotional Hurts, Helping People Through Difficult Times. The author is Edward E. Moody, Jr. The website is firstaidforemotionalhurts.com and edwardmoody.com. Dr. Moody, thank you so much for joining us today on Connecting Faith.
Hey, thanks, Carmen. Appreciate you having me on, okay?
Hey, friends, I got to take one more quick break. When we come back, we'll be making the connecting point. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Hey, friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. Okay, so we've been talking a lot today about being equipped to get into conversations with other people and actually, you know, sort of bring God to bear? How do we help people reconnect the eternal with the everyday? I hope that's what we're doing every day on Connecting Faith. Thank you in particular to those who were willing to text in and call in during our little interactive time. We will do that more and more frequently. And so appreciate your input. I really do want to hear from you when we've got the opportunity to interact with each other. So let me apologize in advance for those of you who called in during that segment and we didn't get to you. You can always text your comments to 877-933-2484. And I love to get your emails. My email address is carmen@myfaithradio.com. So I thought in today's Connecting Point segment, we would use a little bit of our conversation from Dr. Moody and the book, First Aid for Emotional Hurts, Helping People Through Difficult Times, because right now we got a lot of southern neighbors in the United States who are hurting, who are grieving. And so I was reading some of the coverage related to Hurricane Michael. Excuse me. And this one piece posted in the Wall Street Journal really, wow, I don't know. It touched me in ways that some other pieces have not touched me. And so I'm just going to share it with you. It's entitled, "You Just Realize It's All Gone." And that's a quote from one of the people who is interviewed in the article. And so the lead of the article is this: Ashley and Cody Shields bought a house in June. They were transforming it into their dream home where one day they hoped they would raise their children. The remodeling was about half complete when Hurricane Michael roared ashore. They rode out the storm with Mr. Shields' parents, and then they emerged into the debris-strewn streets. They treaded their way through a tangle of fallen trees, seeking to reach their property. It had blown apart. The roof was gone. The windows were shattered. The insulation lay everywhere. All that remained was a slab of concrete and some of the brick siding. Ashley Shields, her husband, her sister, and her sister's boyfriend simply stood there, hugging and weeping. Quote, "We put so much time and effort into it," said Miss Shields, 31. "I feel traumatized by the whole thing." Mr. Shields, "It looks apocalyptic." He was born and raised in Panama City. He no longer recognizes the place of his birth. One official said, "It's like a death." Another person said, "It's not like a death. It is death." A third resident said she simply can't stop crying because, well, you just realize it's all gone. The article makes the observation that for these people, the simple routines of daily life, placing a phone call, finding gas, buying groceries, going to school, have not only become a struggle, they're actually impossible to accomplish. You cannot turn on the light switch. If there were a light switch and you flipped it, there'd still be no power. For people who evacuated Mexico Beach and are now in shelters, one official said, "It's going to be a really long time before there's actually anything for them to go back to. And even when they go back, when they return to those places, there's not anything there." One resident said, "In my heart, I want to stay." And then she acknowledges that she's frightened to go back. It's not the Mexico Beach that we knew before Michael. There are those events in our lives where there's everything that was before the event, and then there's everything after. And so there's Mexico Beach before Michael. And there will be Mexico Beach after Michael. But right now is this grievous in-between time. And it's not just Mexico Beach. It's a wide swath of not only the Florida Panhandle, but deep into the interior of Georgia. And so when we move on, because we live somewhere else and the news cycle has moved on to, you know, more interesting stories, more interesting debates, things that are more pressing and more present for us. those people are still trying to figure out, look, if I start picking up the trash, where do I start picking up the trash and where do I put it? Because everything is trashed. If you've seen the aerial pictures from the area and you see people in the midst of those aerial pictures, you see them standing in the middle of a debris field that is miles wide. And you wonder to yourself, when they pick up whatever it is they're picking up, where are they putting it? So I thought that it would be really helpful for us here on Connecting Faith to be able to actually talk with some folks who do the kinds of trauma intervention and disaster recovery that is going on right now through Samaritan's Purse, through the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Church. Theirs is called Send Relief. It's also happening through Frontline Ministries of the Red Cross. It's happening through the Billy Graham Association. There are folks who are literally on the ground. I know that the Lutheran Comfort Dogs are on their way. And so I think that when you think about ways in which you can be praying for, ways that you can be resourcing, ways that you can be a part of the love of Christ extended to people whose grief is overwhelming. I mean, they've lost everything in a way that's really kind of hard to imagine, kind of hard to fathom. And so I thought it would be helpful for us, you know, starting today with Dr. Moody, but then we're going to proceed tomorrow and we're going to have a conversation with a woman who does direct trauma intervention with girls and women who've been trafficked. And she works with refugees internationally. And so I just thought it would be good for us to begin having conversations about the overwhelming need we see and then the ways in which regular Christians are rising up to intervene. Because I do not want us to be paralyzed in our compassion. I want us to be equipped and mobilized. I don't want us to be paralyzed in our conversations. I want us to be equipped and mobilized. I don't want us to be Christians who are sidelined because we don't feel like we know what to do. I want us to be Christians who are equipped and encouraged and prepared for whatever difficulty lies ahead, be it a difficulty in our own life or a difficulty in the life of our neighbor. And so let me encourage you to spend a few moments today considering the needs of others, considering the challenges that others are facing. Maybe it's just a matter of stopping at, you know, we have something called the dollar store. I don't know if everybody has that, but it's the equivalent of the dollar store. Stop at your equivalent of the dollar store and buy a couple coloring books and packages of crayons and just drive to the waiting room of your local children's hospital, or drive to the emergency room at your local children's hospital or your local hospital, and just hand those coloring books and crayons to a kid who certainly didn't plan on spending their afternoon, their evening, or their weekend in that kind of place. It's like, just buy a box of granola bars and stick them in the side door pocket of your car. And when you see a person who is in need and they're asking for, you know, some kind of help, and if you don't feel compelled to put money in their hand, you could put a granola bar in their hand. You could give them a bottle of water. There are some very simple acts of kindness that bring us directly into fellowship with people who are hurting. And I'm not saying that we can solve all the problems that any of those individuals are facing, but we can treat them with the dignity of their humanity. And that's my encouragement today. Let's not leave people feeling like, in addition to the desperate circumstances that they're in, that they're also in those circumstances all alone. You and I both know that help had to come from the outside, and help came in the person of Jesus. And now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I, who are saved by grace, are now sent by grace to be agents of grace into the world that God so loves, as the very ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, that we would not run away from people in need, but that we would actually move toward them with the kindness of Christ. So whatever that looks like for you today, move forward in kindness and compassion toward others who are in need. And let's do so in prayer, and let's do so in action. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. You can catch us online at myfaithradio.com, on the Faith Radio app, and you can find me at reconnectwithcarmen.com.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Connecting Faith. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend to grow the impact of Connecting Faith. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a conversation.